This audio message is a production of The Fields Church, located in Mattoon, Illinois. We're a church community that wants to help you follow Jesus Christ, connect to caring people, and passionately serve others. Visit us online at thefieldslive.com.
Good morning. My name is Ashley West, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here at the Fields Church, and we're so glad that each and every one of you are here. We started a series last week called Different. Everywhere you look, there are people who seem somewhat miserable in life. They're all going the same direction, trying the same tricks, and pursuing the same solutions, and it's just not working. So maybe it's time to be different. So this teaching series will help you take an approach to life that leads to a new direction. There was a time in our household when we were just having difficult mornings. I wasn't waking up until literally my kids woke up and came and woke me up out of bed. And our mornings were just full of more stress and chaos, and I realized that something needed to change. This cannot keep happening day in and day out. I was waking up cranky to cranky kids, so something had to give, something had to change, or we were just going to keep getting the same results. So I decided I was going to start doing more prep in the night before, planning for our day, getting up in the morning before anybody else in the house, trying to have my coffee and just some time with God and praying. I'd turn on some worship music, you know, but so when the kids come out of the room, like the tone is set for the day. We as parents kind of set the tone for our household. So setting that tone, that calm environment, and I began to realize this is making a difference. This is helping our mornings move from more miserable and stressed to mornings that are smoother and more peaceful. So if we want different results than what we're getting, we have to try a different approach. So that's what we're looking at in this series. And today, our topic of being different is our approach to prayer. Most people around us believe in God, but as a whole, they just aren't that into prayer. If they really believed in God, if they really believed in His power and His goodness, wouldn't prayer be a priority? Instead, our world and our culture around us, we like to talk about our problems and post about our problems and complain about our problems to people who really can't help us that much, instead of praying about them. In the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, God kind of talks about this. He actually says in chapter 7, "They do not cry out to me from their hearts, but they wail on their beds." I mean, what a powerful image that we're so quick to complain, so quick to post, so quick to wail upon our beds, and so slow to take our problems and our needs to the God who has the resources and the ability and the willingness to fix what is broken. Zero prayers in proportion to the dozens of problem-sharing sessions. People focus more on the problems, just playing those things over and over again in their head like a broken record, rather than praying about them, instead of asking the one who created them and knows every inner fiber of their being. They look to answers and signs elsewhere. Others, if they do pray, often their approach to prayer looks kind of like this: in case of emergency use only. I mean, our prayers, instead of becoming something we do every day, like breathing and talking and eating and walking, it seems to become like this little glass-covered box that we just break in case of emergency. We only use on an emergency basis. A lot of people associate crisis with prayer. And when tough times come, when someone gets sick, when we can't pay the bills, when our kids are having problems at school, when we need something to work out on our behalf, then people pray. Billy Graham once said, a powerful quote from him, one of my favorite leaders of all time, he said, "True prayer is a way of life, not just for use in the cases of emergency. Make it a habit, and then when the need arises, you will be in practice." So what could our life be like? How different could our life be if we prayed every day? If we made it a habit? Because we're called to something different. So why don't we try something different? Prayer is meant for so much more. You may be thinking, Ashley, every day, come on, I can't take time to pray every day. Maybe you think you're too busy. One of the biggest obstacles to prayer is our schedules. We say we have a hard time finding time to pray. We need our sleep in the morning so we can function during the day. Our day is slammed with work. We come home. We got family activities. We're up late at night, maybe prepping for the next day of work. We want to pray, but we just don't have time. But let me ask you some pointed questions. Do we eat every day? Do we shower every day? The person next to you is hoping you said yes to that one. You shower every day. You read the paper, watch the news, watch the big game on TV, have time to nap, have time to exercise. All those things are great, wonderful, good, fun, and necessary. But which of those things is more important than building a relationship with the Father? Which of these things has an eternal dimension to it? We live differently than the world. We have an eternal perspective. So if we don't have time to pray, maybe we need to look at our day and substitute prayer for one of those things that we do make time for. Others say, I just can't focus. And if we're honest, many of us would admit that one of the greatest obstacles to prayer is difficulty that we have in just like concentrating. We start out in prayer, but then our minds just kind of begin to wander. We get lost. We're like, what was I just saying, God? I don't know what's happening. Like, so we just stop. Like, this seems pointless. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later, some ways to help kind of fight that obstacle. So why do we pray then? Why do I need to pray? If God knows everything anyway, he's almighty, he's sovereign, he's in control, what could we possibly add to his wisdom with our attempts to pray? That's a great question. So let's look at a couple things. First of all, Jesus prayed. I mean, do you find it at all instructive that Jesus found it necessary to pray? If he cannot face his day today and face the battles in his own strength, neither should we. Jesus frequently moved away from others in order to commune with his Father regularly. I could give you many, many examples of this, but we're going to look at four passages real fast, back to back, of some examples of how Jesus prayed. The first one in Matthew 26, 36 says, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit while I go over there and pray.'" Next, we got Mark 1:35. "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Luke 5:16 says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Luke 11, verse 1 says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" So we pray because Jesus modeled it for us, and we are to follow his example. He showed us its importance by having it regularly in our lives. Second of all, we're instructed to pray. Many, many times throughout Scripture, it's very, very clear what we're to do. One verse in particular, 1 Thessalonians 5:7, puts it, just a few words here, but pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Is that possible? Can we learn to pray as a regular part of our day, praying without ceasing? Absolutely. My prayer for you today is that you will be faithful in prayer. That's what this is talking about, being faithful in prayer, being devoted to prayer. And from New Testament scriptures, we see that the lives who followed Jesus, different than the world around us, different from the world of them at that time, it was a life devoted to prayer. So we should ask ourselves, am I devoted to prayer? You can be. It doesn't have to be complicated. What the Apostle Paul is saying here, he's not saying we have to have our head bowed and our eyes closed posture all day long, walking around. No, he's not referring to nonstop talking, but rather an attitude of God consciousness, of God surrender that we carry with us all the time. That every waking moment is to be lived in an awareness that God is with us and that he is actively involved and engaged in our thoughts and in our actions. Third, we pray because it helps us grow in our relationship with God. Have you ever seen someone who seemed to have such an intimate relationship with God. They just seemed to hear from God all the time. It's like they're so strongly connected. They got like a supernatural direct phone line straight to God. And have you ever wondered maybe why you feel disconnected from God and you assume that you can never be as spiritual as that person? We think feeling truly connected to God is just kind of out of reach or just for certain types of people. But God longs for that closeness with each and every one of us. And if we are willing to make a relationship with Him a priority, we'll eventually begin to feel that closeness. And we make that relationship a priority through prayer. Most people who seem to have that closeness, that connection to God, they have it because they've made prayer a priority in their life. Remember in Luke 11 that we just read about Jesus, the disciples were observing Jesus' deep communion with the Father while he prayed. They noticed how he spoke to God intimately. And the disciples wanted that. They wanted that relationship, that closeness. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And God created us, mankind, for intimate fellowship. God has an incredible love for us, and he wants more than anything that we would approach him and enter into this one-on-one, intimate, personal relationship with him. And the more time you spend in prayer, the more clearly you will see who he is, and the deeper your communion and your commitment to him and your relationship with him will become. See, we may have think, oh, I've been fellowshipping with God. I have a relationship with him. But most of the time, if we're honest, it's just we're having a string of emergency meetings, waiting until a crisis develops, and then running to God for an answer. Emergency praying may give us relief, and God may do something in those moments. But fellowship, the intimacy of everyday closeness, that's what gives you lasting joy. Nothing in this life will bring peace and joy like a relationship with Jesus. And that is established through prayer. The other thing, a reason why we pray, is that because it makes a difference. And I want to hang here for a minute. There's many, many ways that prayer makes a difference. We're going to focus on a couple. But first of all, there's power in our prayers. Sometimes we forget just how powerful our prayer is. Because we're not fighting against something imaginary here. Our prayers are fighting against spiritual battles that linger in dark places. The book of Ephesians talks about this. Let's read it together. It says, "For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." The truth is, the enemy wants to destroy us. And prayer is our tool to win that battle. So when we neglect prayer, we go into that battle unarmed. The power of prayer is so great that it has the power to defeat the enemy, to defeat evil, to defeat darkness. And through our prayers, God works to heal, to save, to help people, to assist people. We pray because it's an amazing way that God allows us to be a part of what he's doing around the world and in our community and in our families. Our prayer can invoke the living power of God. I'm so grateful for the people who have prayed for me throughout my life. I think about all the times and all the people have been praying for me, and I didn't even know it, but the power of God was at work. I think of my parents who prayed for me even before I was born. They were fervently praying for me, and as I've grown up, more people have been added to that, of grandparents and other influential adults praying for me and my husband and my girls. And I think my life could be so different if I didn't have a group of people continuously praying for me, molding me and shaping me into the person that I am today. There was a time when my husband and I were serving in India with One Hope. We were missionaries, had an extended time there, and it's a strong Hindu culture. So anything with Jesus, they don't want in their country, anything associated with him. So we faced some difficulties. It wasn't easy to do ministry there. There were actually Hindu radicals watching us, following us. We had to leave cities early, get out of places early, because they were looking for us and our team. And I remember we didn't really tell a lot of people. We were kind of staying low, kind of hiding out, so we wouldn't draw any extra attention to ourselves. And we didn't tell a lot of people besides our parents because we didn't want people to worry. But there's a couple, Walter and Martha, who were faithful every single morning at their breakfast table to pray for Jeremy and I. Every single morning, the habit of prayer. And the Holy Spirit led them to pray for us in a very specific way. And after a couple days, Martha actually called my mom and said, "Lisa, I don't know what's going on, but Walter and I have had such an urgency to pray for Ashley and Jeremy and their safety and their protection. Something's going on." And my mom was able to fill in her the details and confirm that was from the Holy Spirit, that there was a reason. So you better believe that I know those prayers helped us and kept us safe. There's power in our prayers. Don't ever minimize the power of prayer. Along with the power of prayer, prayer makes a difference because it changes circumstances. We pray because our prayers move the heart of God. God has chosen in his plan to use our prayers. So for this reason, we have many promises and statements like the one in James 5 that says prayer doesn't accomplish things until we start to pray for each other. It says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful, we just talked about that, and effective. It has an effect on things. It changes things. Our prayers can save a marriage. Our prayers can restore the broken. Our prayers can heal the sick. Our prayers can comfort the hurting. God delights in changing our circumstances in response to our prayers of faith. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, it says this is the confidence. We just sing about that. And he is our confidence that we have, if we can approach God, and if we ask anything according to his will, and that sometimes includes his timing, we got to remember that, that we know that we have what we asked of him. We're not able to determine exactly how God will answer our prayers, but we're instructed over and over again to pray, to approach him in confidence. And when we pray, God responds. I can't tell you how it works. I just know that circumstances can change when we pray. Diseases are sometimes healed. Strength is imparted. Guidance is given. Hearts are softened. Needs are met. Prayer changes circumstances. That's why we offer prayer every Sunday. Right over here on this side of the stage, every single Sunday, we have a prayer team there. And that might seem kind of awkward and new for you, and that's okay to ever go up to a stranger and say, "This is what's going on in my life," but that's okay. We have a team of loving people that won't make it awkward for you. They just want to know what's going on and how they can pray for you because we believe that prayer changes circumstances. So any Sunday that you walk in, if you walked in here today, we have a faithful group of people that just want to show love to you and pray for you and believe in faith that God can change your circumstance. I also know that when I pray, I'm changed. So prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. If we spend time with God, he's working to change our heart to be more like his. The more time we spend with him, the more we are like him. Our habits begin to change. Our lifestyle begins to change. It's a place of growth and a place of transformation in us. Prayer deepens our trust in God. Prayer helps us remember that God is the creator and we are the creation. It adjusts our attitude and changes our perspective. Prayer helps us to turn our attention back to him. Isaiah 40, it says in verse 26, "Lift up your eyes and see." As you pray, lift up your eyes and see and remember who has made these stars. It is the one who leads them out by number. He calls them all by name. Let that sink in for a moment. Because of the greatness of his strength, and because he is strong in power, not one of them is missing. How great is our God? Prayer deepens our trust in him. It takes our dependence off of ourselves and places it on the Lord. Prayer changes us by giving us peace. When we take our cares to the Lord, we rise up with a peace and a resolve that we didn't have before we prayed. Philippians talks about this in chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. I love this. It says, don't worry about anything. It doesn't say you can worry about some things. It's okay. No, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So when you're worried, this is what we do. We don't worry. Instead, we pray. And we tell God what we need. And then we thank him for what he has done. And then I love this promise. We've been saying about the promises of God, that when you experience God's peace after you do these things, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So prayer not only changes us by giving us peace, but one more way it changes us is that it helps reveal any sin or offense in our hearts. David does this in Psalm 139. We see this prayer and this cry out to God. David says, "Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What a way to start out our day or end our day in prayer. I mean, the Bible is full of so many powerful prayers like this that we can incorporate into our prayer life, that every morning or every night to say, "God, search me and know me. Point out any offensive way in me. Is there anything creeping in that I need to make sure I get out?" Prayer is a deterrent to sin in our lives. So we have to spend time with God in that quiet time of private, honest prayer with God. He exposes our rationalizations. He exposes our excuses that we use to cater our sin. In prayer, God holds up that mirror to our lives so we can see the way we really are and repent, because he's got something greater for you. Prayer changes us from the inside out. So another reason why we pray is that it helps us hear from God. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." God wants to give you guidance and direction in your life. It's a personal faith. God wants to talk to us, but we have to listen. Conversation is a part of any vital and growing relationship. When I have a normal conversation with my husband, he talks and I listen. And then I respond and he listens. And it's the same with God. We may not actually hear his voice. It's spoken in our heart. It's often described as a still, small voice. I was once on a field trip full of jabbering, yelling kids with my daughter for a school field trip. And my daughter was pretty far in the back, probably 15, 20 rows back. And there was a lot of noise in between us. But as I listened in the back, I could make out the distinctive voice of my daughter. To anybody else who didn't know her, her voice would have just blended in with the chaos. But because I know her, I recognized her voice. And it's the same in our relationship with God. That's how I recognize his voice. Because I know him, I've taken the time to know him, I recognize his voice, even above life's noise. You can know his voice. He promises that as his sheep, we will hear it. And the more you pause and listen for his voice, the more you'll be able to hear it in your life. You'll become familiar with it. We hear from God through prayer. Now, you may be saying, how do I do this? Like, how do I actually pray? Well, first of all, it's a conversation. I don't want to make this difficult because it's not meant to be difficult. It's a conversation. Just start talking to God. And the more you do it, the easier and more natural it will become. See, we're not praying to some distant, uninvolved, uncaring God. We're praying to an intimate, all-knowing, all-close, ever-present, and ever-powerful God. He cares for his children, and he calls us his friend so we can talk to him like a friend. He loves us, and he wants us to talk to him about every concern we have. Pray about everything. You can't offend him by saying something wrong. He loves you. He welcomes the simplest of prayer. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We can approach God in a conversation with confidence, knowing that he's ready to receive us with mercy and find grace and help. We can approach him at any time with anything. Just start talking. The length and the loudness and the eloquence of your prayers are not the issue. It is the sincerity of our heart and the confidence that God hears us and he will answer us. That is what's important. So how do these conversations take place? Well, a couple of thoughts. We're all very different, and our schedules are different. Our families are different. We're at different stages of life with different demands in our days, and we're all at different levels of spiritual maturity. But no matter where you're at, everybody can grow in this area. We can move another step forward in prayer. So, two ways I want to look at today of praying is spontaneous and scheduled. We pray spontaneously, and we pray a little more scheduled. So let's look at spontaneous first. Spontaneous is more unstructured. It's explosive. It's as it just as you're going about your day, acknowledging God throughout your day, looking to Him. As a need arises, you look to Him. God, this just came across my desk. I don't know how to handle it. I need your wisdom right now. Or somebody just said something and you're like, what was that all about? You can call out to God and say, God, help me to know how to handle this person. What should I say? How can I love this person? You see something great happen. God answers a prayer. You look outside and you see God's creation. Whatever it may be, thank Him. Admire Him. Praise Him. Worship Him. Those are all ways that we can pray spontaneously throughout our day. Taking time just to consider how awesome God is. Sharing all of your life with Jesus from the beginning of the day to the end. Just spontaneous prayer, explosive prayer. Hey, God, thank you for this. Some people call it whisper prayer. Just throughout your day, just whispering to God. God, you're so great. Thanks for this job. Help me to do my best at it today. God, thank you so much for this family. Help me to lead it well. Help me to love my wife or my husband more. Whatever it may be, just spontaneous little prayers throughout the day, connecting with the heart of God. Another kind of prayer that we need to be incorporating is scheduled. So this is a little more formal, but it's not rigid. It's more of a time set aside to pray. It's looking at my schedule and saying, okay, this is the time. I'm just going to dedicate some time and give it a priority in my schedule. So start thinking right now. You know what your day-to-day kind of looks at. What's the time in my day that I can schedule? I don't cancel my doctor's appointments. I don't cancel work meetings. I'm going to build this into my schedule so I don't cancel my time with God. And you can start even with just 3 minutes. And I promise the more you do it, it'll grow. It'll turn into more. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus, not only did He model this, but then He taught about it. He talks about getting into that quiet place with Him. It says in Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, so it's an expectation, not if, but when you pray as a follower of Jesus, different than the world, different than not praying at all and just posting, different than just praying when it's an emergency, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. How awesome is that? I mean, He's asking us to give Him some time, spend some time, get to know Him, come to Him in prayer, and He promises He's going to reward us. The kind of God we serve. He's a loving Father. He's so good to us. Back to the wandering mind, having a hard time concentrating as you're having this scheduled time of uninterrupted prayer with God. Here's a couple of things, just a couple tips. First of all, pray at a time when you're most mentally alert. Generally, praying while laying in bed doesn't work out so well. I've tried many a times and I end up falling asleep. So think about a time that's going to be more effective when you're at your best. Like, when's a time that you can be mentally alert and be paying attention? The second thing is pause to remember who you're talking to. The more importance we give the conversation or we believe the conversation to be, the more attention we'll give to it. Think about a high school class. The kids are goofing around, not paying attention to the teacher. But when that teacher starts talking about what's going to be on the exam, you better believe they're paying attention. They're listening. So we got to think about, okay, who is it that I'm talking to here? Place that importance, that remembrance of who it is that you're spending time with. Remember who you're talking to. You'll tend to give it more attention. The other one is to speak out loud. Now, for some, this may be very, very new. Like, I only pray like silently in my heart, and that's okay. That's one way to do spontaneous prayers throughout our day in our heart, just talking to God. But there's something that helps bring a little more focus when we're talking out loud, when we're speaking out loud. So when you're in that quiet place alone with God, start really using audible words to to talk to him, and that will help you stay focused. Another idea is to use some type of prayer list. Have a notepad. Have a little organization. Okay, God, I want to pray for these things right now. I'm taking this time to set aside to be with you, and I want to pray about these specific things that are on my heart, that are going on in my life, whatever it may be, and that will help you have a little more concentration and focus in that scheduled prayer time with God. Another idea, many of you may be familiar with this, is called the ACTS prayer model. This is an acronym. This is an easy way when you're alone with God, just having those few moments with him, this kind of gives you some steps of what to do. So the first one, A, stands for adoration. This is just telling God how wonderful he is, to worship him, to praise him. C is for confession. This is taking time to admit our sins, to ask for forgiveness. God, I'm sorry for that thought I just had. I know that was inappropriate. Forgive me for that, God. Purify my heart, purify my mind. It's just asking him for his forgiveness. T stands for thanksgiving. It's taking a few moments just to thank God, just letting gratefulness pour out of your life unto God, thanking him for all he's done in your life. And S is for supplication, making your requests to God. God, this is going on. I need your help in this. God, this person's struggling with this. Help them. So this is the time that you're praying for your needs and for other people's needs. So we need both on a daily basis. We need spontaneous prayer and we need scheduled prayer. If you're only free in your prayers, just the spontaneous prayer randomly throughout the day, your prayer life could become a little shallow. Has danger become a little more shallow? And if you're only in your strict, rigid time, like I only spend 10 minutes a day with God, that's it, nothing else. If we're just doing that, our prayer life can become rather mechanical and hollow. Both ways of praying are important. It's not a need like an either or. It's a both and. Spontaneous and scheduled prayer throughout our day. So what I desire most for you guys today is for you guys just to feel a greater hunger for prayer, for a different prayer life. You know, prayer is such a privilege. Can you think of any greater honor than to have the audience of the one who rules over all creation? We just talked about that, how he numbers the stars, he leads them out each one by one. Not one of them is missing, and he can't handle my problem at work. Nothing's too difficult for him. Remember the audience that you have with the one who rules over all creation. We've been invited to talk with the one who put those stars in place. We're invited to seek counsel from the one who is truth and wisdom. We're invited to sit down with the one who knows all things. Prayer is a privilege purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, we talked about that, about the veil being torn, that because of that veil being torn, we now have direct access to the living God because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Christ died for this end. It cost him the shedding of his blood that we, through him, might have entrance to that throne of grace. To have direct access, direct communication, a direct line to God. And will you let such a privilege as this lie still and dormant in your life? Will you only use it when it benefits you or there's an emergency? Let us be different from those around us and how they approach prayer. Imagine how your life could change if you daily talk to God. It isn't meant to be boring. It's not meant to be a chore, something we just check off our list for the day. But make prayer an important part of your life every day, spontaneous and scheduled. And I promise you, you will not regret it. And maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. This is all new to you. Or maybe you did in the past and you've drifted. Today can be the day of salvation for you. See, God created us to be with him, and God is holy, which means he's positively righteous, and he can have nothing to do with sin except condemn it. So our sin separates us from him. Sins cannot be removed by our good deeds. We cannot save ourselves. But because God's of his mercy and his love towards us, he provided a solution. And he sent Jesus, who lived a perfect, sinless life. And he willingly died in our place and paid the price for our sin. And when he rose from the dead 3 days later, he defeated death, securing eternal life for those who will believe and trust in him. So anyone who puts their trust in Jesus as their Savior, their sins are forgiven, and they are given eternal life. It's a free gift. And life with Jesus can start now, and it can last forever. So right where you sit today, you can put your faith in Jesus. You can renew that commitment to him, to choose to follow him. Let's all close our eyes for a moment just to help us focus on God a few more moments. And if you're trusting in Jesus today, and we want to express your newfound faith in him, you just simply start talking to God in your heart, just like we talked about. It's a conversation. Thanking him for sending his son to die in your place for your sins. That you believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And that you trust in him to forgive you for all of your sins. Receive this free gift of salvation, this free gift of eternal life through faith right now. It's yours. He stands at the door and knocks. You just gotta let him in. And as soon as you do this, you're adopted into God's family, and you enter into a personal, living relationship with Jesus. God, I thank you for those who are trusting in you for the forgiveness of their sins today and for salvation. Help them to follow you all the days of their life. There is no greater decision. This decision impacts their today, tomorrow, and eternity. And we thank you for hearts that have been reconciled to you today. I want us to all stand up for a moment. Everybody can stand, and we're just going to take a moment to sing this song. And anything that you need to trust God with today, make this your anthem. As you're praying, God, that you can do anything, that I trust you with this. I've seen you do amazing things. Take your prayers to God today. Take your needs to God and worship him and remember who he is as we just spend these last couple moments connecting with him, worshiping him, and trusting in him.